All right, well, it's a blessing to be back here. We've been here in and out for some time, and I just want to thank you for, I'm not sure who did it, but someone's really helped us out a lot with our pallets and paying for some of that. So I don't know if it's a church or somebody here individually. We really appreciate that. Lord, use you folks to take care of some major problems for us. And, of course, for the Lord, it's nothing. It's easy. Before we jump in, I just want to open up with a word of prayer over this sermon. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, it's a privilege to be able to open up a perfect Bible. It's a privilege to stand, Lord, in a house filled with people that love you and that love your book and that are concerned about the lost. And, Lord, we pray tonight that you might minister to these folks. Lord, I don't know their hearts. I don't know their needs, but you do. Please help me, Lord, to be put aside. Please help Jesus Christ to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have a Bible, open up to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1. Recently, I was talking with a young man up in Washington State about a month, maybe 2 months ago now, and he came up to me and he said, "I want to be a great preacher." He said, "What do I need to do to be a great preacher?" And I thought for a moment, I thought, well, that's a good thought, I suppose, but I didn't understand what he meant by a great preacher. And so I asked him, I said, "What are you doing right now to achieve that goal, to become a great preacher?" I said, "Who are you studying? What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, you know, I've really studied Billy Graham a lot." He says, "You know, he was America's preacher for a long time." He said, "But Joel Osteen is now America's preacher, and Rick Warren." He said, "I don't study them." I said, "Well, that's okay." I said, "What else are you doing?" He said, "Well, I study Dan Farley and Peter Ruckman." I said, "Yeah, but who is the greatest preacher that ever lived?" And he said, "You know, I don't know." He said, "Was it Billy Sunday?" I said, "No." You got to go a little bit further back. Took him a couple minutes. He said, "Was it Solomon?" And I said, "You know, we're in line. We're back to the Bible." He said, "It's called, you know, vanity of vanity is all is vanity, saith the preacher." I said, "He was a preacher." But the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, he says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." I told him the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of this planet was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And his eyes kind of came out a little bit and he said, "Jesus wasn't a preacher." And I said, "You must not read your Bible very much." So this evening, I just want to talk, maybe brag about Jesus Christ and the preacher that he was a little bit. And maybe the Lord's called you tonight to be a full-time pastor or evangelist. Maybe God's called you to be a full-time missionary. And I want to encourage you tonight to look to Jesus Christ. I appreciate what Brother Pat said the other day. He said, "If you want to learn the Bible, if you want to learn the ministry, don't go over here and don't go over there and don't sign up for some correspondence." He said, "Come with me to the hospital." That was good. But if you want to really learn how to be a preacher, the best place to look is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the greatest preacher. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and look at verse number 38. Mark chapter 1 and verse 38. The Lord here has called out a few disciples, and as they go, Mark chapter 1 and verse 38, he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. You know, one of the first things I've noticed, I just started reading back through the New Testament with my daughters, and we hit this passage. I noticed that the reason Jesus Christ came to earth, he stated it, was to preach. The reason he came to the earth was to preach. And a lot of men, they try to get around it. They say, "Well, I'm not called to preach." But every man is called to preach. Amen. Amen. You may not be called to be a pastor. You may not be called to be an evangelist. You may not be called to be a missionary overseas, but you are called to preach. All right? Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I noticed something. We traveled through over 250 churches, and I know everybody has a different work schedule and this and that, but Sunday night is full. I mean, Sunday morning's full. Sunday night's about half there. Wednesday night's kind of the core crowd. And when it's time to go visitation, or when it's time to street preach, there's always just a handful of guys. Amen? There's only a few guys. And maybe you're not amening because you're not one of them. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse number 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The Lord Jesus Christ commissions every man and every woman to be a preacher, to be a witness. Look at John. Some of you aren't convinced yet. Look at John. You don't do it. John chapter 15. I was talking with a pastor. Believe it or not, a pastor said this. I was talking with a pastor, and he had me come back and preach for him a second time. And he told me, he said, Brother, just whenever you come this time, just don't preach about street work or soul winning or anything like that. And I thought, well, I've never been told what to preach or what not to preach. I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to govern that in the Bible and the Lord. And so we got in a little discussion, and he said, Brother, what you don't understand is you keep getting with me and talking about how I need to go out and street preach and witness. But he said, as a pastor, my job is to feed the flock of God, not the street preach, not the soul win, not the witness. And so we talked for a little while longer, and he got irritated. He said, Brother, if you read the Pauline epistles, you will not find one place where a pastor, I'm not talking about the common church, I'm talking about a pastor here. He said, where a pastor is told to go out and witness in the street preach in the Pauline epistles. He said, my job is to feed the flock. And he was real mad and hung up on me. And I wanted to say, you idiot. Feeding the flock is found in Acts, which is not Pauline, and Peter, which is not Pauline. So he's applying something to himself. But he won't. But then he's trying to use the Pauline epistles to excuse himself. Look at John chapter 15, and we would all agree this is for the Christian. Verse number 1, Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse number 15. Jesus Christ says, Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The Lord Jesus Christ not only saved you, but the Lord Jesus Christ ordained each and every one of you that's saved in this building to go forth and bring fruit. That's your duty. We're to reproduce after our own kind. And that's something that we lack. And you say, well, how do we get better at it? Whether you're a lady in here trying to learn how to witness, but especially men, how do we get better at bringing forth fruit? Well, we have to look to the greatest preacher out there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus Christ obeyed his calling to preach. He obeyed his calling to preach. He said, For hitherto am I sent. He was sent to preach. And there's one thing I've noticed. I'm only 25, but we've been around a few states and a few churches and a few people. One thing I've noticed is people will do anything to get around preaching. They'll do anything to get around preaching. They'd rather give money in the offering plate instead of preaching. They'd rather even give out a few gospel tracts instead of preaching. They'd rather go out and do some humanitarian deed rather than preaching. Amen. To go out and to lift up your voice on a street corner, that takes some guts. And so many men lack it. But Jesus Christ, He fulfilled His calling. I wonder if you're going to fulfill your calling, men. The Lord Jesus Christ has called you to go forth. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you a preacher? Well, you say, I'm not called into the ministry. I'm not called to pastor. I didn't say, are you called to be a pastor? Are you called to be a preacher? According to the Bible, you are. Are you doing it? Jesus Christ obeyed His calling. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And look at verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say unto his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profit for me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus Christ was a balanced preacher. He was the greatest preacher that ever walked this earth, and He was a balanced preacher. You say, how do I become a great preacher? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Time and time and time again, you can find the Lord Jesus Christ giving the hard facts. Giving the hard facts. And preaching is not always screaming. That's not the definition of preaching. You can preach to your neighbor in a conversation by giving them the truth. I was in a church in Arkansas, and I taught Sunday school there. And the pastor there, he said, brother, I'm going to let you preach for the main service. But he said, you got to preach. He said, I get up on the pews and dance back and forth and all this stuff while I'm preaching. And I said, well, brother, I'm preach how the Lord chose me to preach. And so he let me preach the morning service. And afterward, almost everybody from the church had come down and was praying for their families and praying about witnessing and whatever was in the sermon. I don't remember quite. And at the end, he came up and put his arm around me and he said, brother, I didn't think it could be done. I said, what do you mean? He said, brother, you didn't run around. You didn't lift your voice. But everybody was getting right with God. Sometimes we have in our mind that preaching is just screaming and shouting. But preaching is simply delivering the truth. Jesus Christ was a balanced preacher. Jesus Christ gave the hard, hard truth. He said, they said, you know, your disciples break the traditions of our fathers and of the elders. They don't wash their hands. And He said, so do you. You break the tradition. You don't even break tradition. You break the law. He gave them the hard truth. And sometimes it's not easy to give people the hard facts. I was just talking with a brother and sister upstairs, and they were talking about their lost family, lost sister. And she said, you know, I'm trying to witness to her, but it's not always easy. And it's not always easy to give the hard facts. But to be a preacher, you got to give the truth with compassion and with love. But you got to give the hard facts. If you have to call sin, sin, and wickedness, wickedness, and when someone's breaking the law, you have to say you're breaking what God clearly wrote down. Had a gentleman call me the other day and he wanted to know what the grounds were for divorce. I said, well, it's kind of a weird question. I said, are you looking to get divorced? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, by the end of the phone call, he said, well, yeah, I'm looking to get divorced. I said, you're just looking for an excuse to get out. And he said, well, I don't care really what you're talking about the Bible. I want to know your opinion. And I kept bringing it back to the Bible. I said, I don't want to know that. I want to know your opinion. And I had to give him the truth from the Bible. And it wasn't easy because he's a friend of mine. Sometimes it's not easy to deliver the truth. But you know what you have to do, men? You have to look to Jesus Christ. You get in a situation and you say, what should I do? What should I do? If you've done any personal work, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You say, what should I say? And instantly, my mind, being carnal, will run to this pastor or that pastor or my pastors instead of looking to Jesus Christ, looking to the Bible. You know where you ought to look? The Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm called to preach. Where should I learn to be a great preacher? Look at Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 15. I think we're right there. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse number 32. Jesus Christ, he heals a lame man. And in verse number 32, the Bible says, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And you know the story. Jesus Christ breaks it and he feeds them. But Jesus Christ, not only is he willing to give the hard truth, but he's also compassionate. He's compassionate. And I've met many preachers that are able to give the hard truth, but they have no compassion. They're able to rip people apart, but when it comes to helping somebody, they don't know what to do. Maybe some of you sitting in this room tonight, you know a puddle of verses how to rip down and destroy and stomp on people from this Bible. And they're in there, but you don't know the ones to uplift and to help and to aid and to give strength to the weary. Jesus Christ is a balanced preacher. Boy, he could quote the Bible like that. He was God. He wrote it, amen. And rebuke, but he could also have compassion and help. You know, this thing isn't about how much we could hurt or rebuke or sever and tear apart. It's how we can help people. Ultimately, everything that we go through as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, is for our benefit. God allows it so that we could draw closer to him, or God allows it so we can help out our brother or sister in Christ whenever they're hurting. You know what? We take the gifts of God and we toss them to the side, and all we want to do is unleash the anger of God on folks. Are you compassionate? Jesus Christ was compassionate. He said, I want to be a great preacher. But do you lack compassion? Without compassion, you won't reach folks. I know it sounds cliche because people say it all the time, but people don't care how much you know until they know you care. There's a lot of truth to that. People don't care how much you know. Come up here and quote this Bible backwards and forwards, and if I'm having a marriage problem and my wife's ready to leave me, and all you can do is rebuke me out of this Bible, I don't really care. I'm looking for help. I'm looking for an aid. I'm looking for somebody that can saddle beside me and pray with me and fast with me and cry with me and give me some help from God. Somebody that's in touch with the Lord, not somebody that can just rip and tear. You say, I don't know if I could be that type of preacher. Well, it's a high bill. It's a high bill. Jesus Christ was. Take your Bible. Look at Matthew. You know what? For sake of time, why don't you look at Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Jesus Christ, he preached a hard truth. He preached with compassion. But he also preached doctrine. If you read through the Gospels, you find Jesus Christ preaching doctrine almost all the way through there. And as a preacher, you're going to have to know doctrine. You say, I want to preach. I want to be a good preacher. Well, you're going to have to know doctrine. You're going to have to know how to answer somebody's question using the Bible, using the Scripture. And it comes by studying. It comes by reading, which is against the flesh. Amen? I was at a church, and this pastor, he stood us up, and he said, Now, you know, we look up to these missionaries. They're our heroes. And during a slideshow, I made it a point to say, I'm no different than you. I like the fact Pastor Mike said that a couple weeks ago. He said, I have the same flesh as you. I told this church, I said, do you know whenever you go to open up the Bible, your flesh hates it. Amen? Amen. When I go up to open the Bible, my flesh hates it just as much as yours does. There's no difference. You know what you have to do? You have to study the Bible so you can know doctrine. Jesus Christ preached doctrine. Look at Luke chapter 7. I think you're there. Luke chapter 7, look at verse number 33. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 33. Jesus Christ is talking to the Pharisees and he says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You read that and you see who Jesus spent his time with. Where was Jesus in the wee hours of the morning? Where was Jesus on the weekend? Jesus was with the publicans and with the sinners. He was with the people that needed help. He went out and found folks that were distraught, that were distressed, that had problems, that had troubles. And he saddled up beside them to help them. You know, sometimes being a preacher, like this one guy said, he said, Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, you know, those guys don't saddle beside the sinners. They saddle beside, not the saints either, I suppose. They saddle beside the political leaders, and they saddle beside the rich people and the folks that are in power. But you know, if you want to be a preacher, you want to be a balanced preacher, like this young man said, you want to be a great preacher, you need to find some sinners. You need to find some folks that are a little worse off than you are, and look at them with compassion, and invite them over to your house for dinner. You say those things don't work. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. We're in Pensacola, Florida. My wife and I, we invited a coworker of mine over, and he said, oh, no, I don't want to trouble you. I said, come on over. I said, my wife makes the best seafood lasagna and shrimp Alfredo sauce, hands down. Amen. You're coming. Amen. And he said, no. Well, finally, I convinced him to come. And we sat down, and afterward, we opened up a Bible. And he was sitting on the couch, and he was crying. And he said, you know, I really got to get saved. And he said, but I just can't do it tonight. And I talked with him and talked with him. And you can't force someone to get saved. And so he left. And then we invited him over a second time. And after he left the second time, the next day at work, he said, I want to get saved. You know what you have to do, Christian? You have to have compassion. You gotta eat with the publicans and the sinners. Sometimes we get so theological that we miss the basic Bible. We just miss it. We know how many hairs are on the left ankle of the Antichrist. Right? Boy, we could divide it right down to the fifth gray and with the pus, the leprosy pus in there. But we won't open up our home for a sinner. We won't invite somebody over. We won't take them out for a bite to eat. For the gospel's sake. For their soul's sake. You want to be a great preacher? Got to have compassion on the lost. You got to meet the lost where they are. That's the one thing I love about this church. We've been in a lot of churches. In this church, a lost person could walk in and they don't have people looking down at them like, what are you doing here with a tattoo? Amen. It's a blessing. You know what you got to be if you want to be a great preacher? You got to be open. You got to be hospitable. You know, the Bible says that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. It's a good thing to desire to be a preacher. It's a good thing to desire to be a great preacher. And if you want to be a great preacher, the best preacher to look at is Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. And look at verse number 1. There's a lot of preachers that'll tell you what to do, but they won't go out and do it. They won't go out and do it themselves. They'll tell you to street preach. They'll tell you to give out gospel tracts. They'll tell you to man up and get a backbone, right? But they won't go out. They won't do it. You say, well, who did it? Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ led by example. Look at Luke chapter 8. And this is found throughout the whole canon of the New Testament. verse 1. Bible says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." You know what Jesus Christ did? He said, "Listen, guys, I'm not going to tell you to go out and do something that I'm not willing to do. And if you want to be a great preacher, you're going to have to step up to the plate and get a backbone and start to lead yourself." Amen. My father used to say there's two types of leaders. He said the type that'll sit back and tell you what to do, and the type that'll get out there and say, "I'll be there. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. But I'm going to be there." And he said, "You better be the second leader. You better be the second leader." Jesus Christ always led by example. He never tied any weight to anyone else that he wasn't willing to carry. Jesus Christ was willing to carry it all. And he did when he knelt down at the cross and bore your sin and bore my sin, bore the sin of the world. If you want to be a great preacher, you got to lead by example. Look at John chapter 8. Jesus Christ obeyed his calling. He preached the truth. He preached with compassion. He preached doctrine. He preached on heaven. He preached on hell. He preached things that were relative and relevant for people. And it was hard, but he preached with compassion. He fulfilled the calling. Will you fulfill the calling? Will you lead? Or will you let somebody else take it up for you? Will you go out Tuesday night? Or let somebody else do it? So there's a voice out there from First Bible. Yeah, but it's not your voice. People pray, "God, please use my children." Some of you pray, "God, raise up preachers. Raise up pastors. Raise up missionaries." And yet your children don't see you out. They don't see you. But you say, "There's a voice. There's a voice." Whose voice is it? Jesus Christ led by example. John chapter 8. If you want to be a great preacher, you've got to be teachable. You've got to be teachable. The first and I think the greatest thing Jesus Christ ever did was he obeyed his calling. If you won't obey your calling, you could be as teachable, like we said earlier, and know every hair on the right ankle or whatever. You could be teachable, but if you don't fulfill and obey the calling, you'll be useless. Absolutely useless. But if you want to be a great teacher or a great preacher, and you've obeyed the calling, then you've got to be teachable. Jesus Christ was teachable. John chapter 8, and look at verse number 28. John chapter 8, and look at verse number 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." The Lord Jesus Christ was teachable by God the Father. And brother, if you want to be a great preacher, you've got to be teachable by God the Father. You've got to be willing to open up this Bible and let God speak to you through His Word. I've met some pastors, I've met some preachers. You say, "How can we keep talking about this?" I guess it's in my blood right now because I've just gotten off of 200 and some pastors. And some of them will argue with you. "Where'd you get that sermon?" I say, "The Bible." They say, no, I know that, but where? What website?" I said, "The Bible." You know, you read it. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher that ever walked this earth. And you know where he learned, where he was taught? From God the Father. And brother, if you want to be a great preacher, you've got to get alone with God the Father. You've got to get alone with the Holy Spirit of God and with this book. And you've got to pour over it. And you've got to let the Holy Spirit of God through God the Father speak to you from His Word. You've got to listen to God Almighty. You can't open up a website or open up a Golden Nuggets book or open up a sermon outline book. I don't care who wrote the outline and get up and preach it. It's not of God. It's not the Holy Spirit. You got to get alone. You say, well, I've met some preachers that didn't have to learn that way. Well, Jesus Christ learned that way. You think there's a better way to learn? I'd say he learned the best way. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Peter, he was our example. And if he had to learn from God, then why don't you learn from God? I met a young man, he said, it's just too hard to open up the Bible and to read. I just can't get an outline. I said, well, don't preach from an outline then. Just get a couple verses and just ramble on for a while and the Lord will help you. Amen. Either get it from God or just shut up. Amen. One or the other. If the Lord doesn't show up, then it's all in vain, right? Feeding somebody stale bread and moldy bread, it's not going to help them. Jesus Christ was able, was taught by God the Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Say, I want to be a great preacher. Well, there's some costs to being a great preacher. Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher. And he was teachable. He was taught by God the Father. But he was also taught through circumstance and through suffering. Hebrews chapter 5. And look at verse number 8. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience. He had to learn obedience. I can't grasp that. That God Almighty came down and embodied in flesh, had to learn obedience. But God said he did. And he learned it by the things that he suffered. And if you want to be a great preacher, then you better brace for some suffering and for some problems and learn through them. Learn through them. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus Christ went through the terrors of the cross to learn obedience. And he did it for a specific reason. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ suffered to learn obedience so that we could understand God and God could understand us. You remember in the book of Job, the sons of God came up, devil came up to present himself before God. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Said he's perfect, he's upright, he feareth God and escheweth evil. And he says, yeah, but he does that because you put a hedge about him and you've given him all this cattle and land. And he says, if you'll just take all those things away from him, so if you just take it all, he'll curse you to your face. And God says, I don't think he will. Go ahead, take it all. And bam, the devil leaves. Doesn't wait. Doesn't need anything else. That's how he works. He just wants to get the approval to hurt you, to maim you. And he goes and he takes everything. His children, his land, his cattle, everything except his wife. Amen. Left him his wife. And Job didn't sin against God. The devil came back up there and he says, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And he says, yeah, but if you just touch his body, he says, if you just touch his flesh, he said, a man will give everything, what, for his skin. And he says, okay, touch his flesh, just don't kill him. Bam, the devil's gone. Gives him blisters of his head to the sole of his feet, boils. Job's wife, he says, just curse God, just die. Say, why did Jesus endure all that? Because now when the devil comes up there and he says, look at Brother Lieb. Look at him. He's just serving you because you put a hedge of protection about him. He's just serving you because you've been merciful to him and good to him. He'd curse you if you took those things away. God doesn't have to think about it for a moment. He says, I went down there and I suffered like a man in man's flesh. He says, I know what they go through. He says, get out of here. Get out of here. That's why Jesus Christ came down and suffered. So he could understand us. So we could understand him. Could you understand a God? Now, praise the Lord. The Old Testament saints, Jesus, our Jesus incarnate in a body came down. But it wasn't a body of flesh. God showed himself on Mount Sinai and they saw God. They saw the pillar and they saw the Red Sea part and all those things. But if that wasn't there, could you imagine? There's God up there somewhere. What would we cling to? What hope would we have? That's why Jesus Christ came. So we could understand him. Praise God. The Bible says when he came, he said, God didn't want sacrifice and offering. He said, but a body thou hast prepared for me. So God could understand us and we could understand God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. That's why we're told to look at Jesus Christ. You say, I want to be a good preacher. What do I do? Well, you better obey the calling. You better be teachable. And you ought to look at Jesus Christ, even look at his suffering. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus Christ suffered more than any man has or will ever suffer. And he did it so we could consider him. And consider the great contradiction that took place at the cross. You say, what was this contradiction? Here's a man that did nothing but good. He came in, he healed the blind. He raised the dead. I mean, the dead. 4 days dead. Raised a girl dead. Gave sight to the blind, healed the withered hand, cast out the devils. Gave them water, turned water into wine, right? He did nothing but good. And yet, the great contradiction is, they wanted to kill him. What a contradiction. If a man came in into Staten Island and he just walked by you and he said, all right, you're healed, done. Sister Debbie walked by you and said, you're healed, gave you brand new knees. Walked by some of you and said, you're healed, took your cancer away. Then you all turn on him and want to kill him. What a contradiction. But Jesus Christ endured that. He endured it so we could look when we're going through it and say, Jesus Christ endured far greater than I'll ever endure. And it says, so you don't faint in your minds. So you don't faint in your minds. If you want to be a good preacher, look to the suffering of Jesus Christ when you're in turmoil, when you're suffering. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be teachable. The Lord will send you, just like he taught the Lord Jesus Christ, how to be obedient by the things which he suffered. Preacher, God will send you things that will be tough to teach you so that you'll learn. And either you could harden your back and stiffen your neck against it, or you can look to Lord Jesus Christ and learn and become a better preacher through the things that you suffer. Take your Bible. Look, if you would, at John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Jesus Christ endured some problems while he was on the earth. And if you want to be a great preacher, you're going to endure some problems. You say, what do I do when these problems arise? Do I call a pastor of mine? Do I talk to my wife? Do I call a co-worker? What do I do? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had just as many problems as you'll ever have. John chapter 2. verse number 1. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And they wanted wine. And the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You know what, Jesus Christ had a problem with his mama. And many, many, many men have been called by God Almighty to go out and to preach the gospel here and afar. And they won't go because of mama. They won't stray from mama. They won't disappoint what mama has always dreamed, that her children would stay by her side to the day that she dies. Jesus Christ had a problem with mama. Mama was trying to get him. Like Pastor Veach explained, I think that was the best explanation I've ever heard of this verse. He says, Pastor Veach, I think you were here. He said that they were trying, his mama was trying to get him to yield to the will of the Gentiles and be subject to their will when it wasn't time. It wasn't time yet. And men, one of the greatest things that may divide your family in two is your mama. Amen. You know it's true. Most men, if their mama starts sobbing and starts crying, they'll buckle to the wishes and wants of their mother. You know what I'd say? My mom's here. I just picked her up yesterday. One of the greatest things that my mom ever did for me was when I was 13 years old in a church in upstate New York, her and my dad got down to an altar and they were weeping and they were crying and they gathered all of us children together. And it was at that point that the Lord said, okay, go. You know what my mom told me? She said, tears running down her face. She says, I don't want to see you all go. But she said, if God calls you to Africa, or God calls you to India, or God calls you to the Atlantic somewhere, she said, go. She said, go. She said, you obey God. She said, I might be sad and I might cry. She said, but you better obey God and not think about me. I remember tears running down her face and I'm sitting there crying because at that time the Lord had been dealing with my heart about being a preacher and I wasn't sure. I was praying about the mission field. And my mom, she said, just go. If you don't have a mom like that, you know what you got to do? You got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. When his mom was telling him to do something, to be subject to some Gentiles, to be subject to some people, when it wasn't time, you know what he said? He said, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Some of you men, maybe God's called you and your mama's holding you back. You've got to love your mom. I understand. You've got to honor your mom. But you don't have to obey your mom. You have to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And it might be time to say, Mom, I love you and I respect you. And even tell her, I'm honoring you by serving Jesus Christ. And if you don't want me to go, that's fine. But I have to go because I have to obey Jesus Christ and not you. Woman, what have I to do with thee? I'm either going to obey you or the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, where do I look? Jesus Christ for the help. Jesus Christ for the answers. You know, the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The more you read about Jesus Christ, the little things that we just take for granted, we just read over, he was truly tempted in all points. And we could go to him for our temptations and our struggles. You know, mama doesn't always know best. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Here the Lord Jesus Christ tarried behind and was listening, sitting in the midst of the doctors and hearing them and asking them questions. And look at verse number 47. Luke chapter 2 and verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And they went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You read the Bible through and through and through and through, and the only sibling, let alone friend or family or anybody else, the only sibling that's ever mentioned as ever getting saved, ever getting converted, is who? James, the Lord's brother. Mary kept a lot in her heart. Mary kept a lot in her heart. You don't read of Mary telling all of her sibling, or all of her other children about Jesus and who he truly is, do we? You don't read about them going out and following the Lord Jesus Christ. But we sure read that she kept a lot deep, deep down in her heart. Mama doesn't always know best. And either you're going to serve Mama, some of you tonight, or you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and go and obey him and do what he's commanded you to do. That's something for you to think about. Some of you are looking at me funny right now. Something for you to think about, huh? She kept it all in her heart. She didn't really want much to do with it. We'll look at another verse here in a minute. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. You say, how do I become a great preacher? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much wisdom found in Jesus Christ. You know, I always say one of my favorite verses, because a lot of them are, but one of my favorite verses talks about Solomon. We just read it, and how that there's a greater than Solomon here. Solomon was a man of great wisdom, great understanding, and God gave it to him. But a greater than Solomon is Jesus Christ. Look at, what do we say? Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 31. Jesus Christ is answering the scribes. He said that he cast out devils by Beelzebub, and he cast them out by the prince of the devils. And he talks about if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. And in verse 31, in the middle of Jesus Christ preaching, there came unto him his brethren and mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. They didn't even come in. They stood without, and they sent somebody in to call for him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. Why were they out there? Why were they outside? If Mary had told all of her children that their eldest brother was the Son of God, was the Savior. This is Jesus, the Savior, Emmanuel. They were all outside. They were kind of ashamed, I think. Maybe they didn't want to go inside. They sent somebody in to fetch little old Jesus. Verse 33, and he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You say, what do I do when my brethren don't care about me going to a mission field? What if they all say, stay home? You're going to miss the family reunion. You're going to miss great-grandpa's birthday. The dog's birthday is coming up. What do? You look to the Lord Jesus Christ. When none of his family were interested in religion, when none of his family even dared to enter, they said, Jesus, boy, come out here, boy. He said, who is my mother? If you won't hate father or mother, sister, brethren, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. If you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit. Jesus Christ illustrated it. He said, they don't want anything to do with me. But when I'm in the middle of preaching, that's when they come. And look, if he would have stopped, we wouldn't have got the parable of the sower. And if you go over to Matthew 13, which don't take time now, but if you go there and look at 13 and 14 and 15, it goes straight on through. See, the devil always sends somebody in there to hinder the work of God. and it may be family. Who are you going to listen to? Family? Mama? Or the Lord? You say, I don't know where to look for help. I asked this preacher and he's given me this advice and this preacher's given me this advice. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured it all. And he gave us a perfect answer. He said, who is my mother? Who's my brethren? He said, you guys are. You're my family. They don't want it. They don't have to have it. If you want it, I'm adopting you. And guess what? He's adopted us, hasn't he? Look at John chapter 6. Almost done. We're going to take a few minutes more, because in the beginning of the sermon, I thought you all might be on board with this idea that we're all called to preach. So I had to go through all these extra verses to try to show it to you. Amen. Some of you get that. Okay. John chapter 6. Another problem you may face as a preacher is someone may want to exalt you too high too soon. John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, Jesus Christ just finished his feeding the 5,000. And after he's done, look at verse number 15. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. When folks want to exalt you and folks want to put you up on a pedestal, it might feel good at first. But that thought's going to hit you. Am I doing the right thing? You know where to look? To Lord Jesus Christ. They came in and he knew they were going to make him a king. They said, if this guy can take a few loaves of fish or a few loaves of bread and some fish and feed 5,000 of us, let's make him our king. Let's force him to be a king. And Jesus Christ says, not time yet. I don't need the glory and the accolades of men. I want to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. And preacher, you may get the glory of men. And you're going to have to either accept that and reject the glory of God or turn down the glory of men at some point. Now, maybe some of you are just not likable at all, so you may not get any glory. Amen. I may not get any glory. People don't like me very much. But if it comes, you know where to look? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Time and time again, they sought to make him either a king or they sought to exalt him or they sought to make him a ruler. And the Bible just said he departed. He just left. He didn't make a big deal about it. He just left. He said, how do I become a great preacher? By humbling yourself and following the Lord Jesus Christ's example. You know, if you want to be a great preacher, some friends that say they're going to pray for you won't pray for you. They're going to betray you. They're going to lie to you, sometimes unintentionally. You know the story when Christ went into the garden to pray. He took Peter, James, and John, and he said, tarry here a while and pray. And he went a little further, and he came back three times. He said, yeah, okay, we're going to pray. And they were all sleeping. You can't count on anyone else to intercede to God for you than yourself. If you want to be a great preacher, you're going to have a prayer life with God. You can't count on the brethren saying, I'm going to pray for you. You can't count on even your wife saying, I'm going to pray for you. And you say, boy, I'm set with my prayer life. No. You've got to get down, you and God, and mean business. The sheer truth, most people that say, oh, yeah, I'm praying for you, they don't pray for you. You know what happens? They walk in and say, how you doing, brother? Yeah, I've been praying for you. And then they sit down. And they say, oh, Lord, please bless Brother So-and-so. So, okay, I prayed for him. Who? He's my conscience. You can't rely. You say, I've never thought of that. Well, I hadn't thought about it till recently. You can't rely on other people for your prayer life. That's between you and God. And that's a problem. That's a struggle. You know why? Because we're trapped in this flesh. You know that it's harder to pray than it is to read your Bible? Do you know why? Yeah, I read through my Bible a third time this year. There's no glory in prayer, is there? There's absolutely no glory of men in prayer. No glory. Why? That's not between you and God. Do you get up and brag and say, I spent 2 hours praying and fasting? There's no glory. That's why God values prayer so high, because He realizes if you actually spend time with Him in prayer, then you're really sincere. You must mean business with Him. If you want to be a great preacher, you can't rely on other people to pray for you. What do you do if folks don't like you? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a preacher and folks don't like you, what did Jesus Christ do when folks didn't like Him? Look at John chapter 5, one page back. John chapter 5. When folks didn't like Him, He didn't go out and file a lawsuit. He didn't go out and hire the mob to protect Him. John chapter 5, verse number 16. Jesus Christ heals the lame man. He tells him, rise and take up thy bed and walk. And He did it on the Sabbath day. And in chapter 5, verse 16, Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. You say, what do you do when people don't like you as a preacher? What do you do when they hate you and they're ready to kill you? Do you hire out some protection? No, brother. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ, when they were ready to kill Him, He just kept on preaching. He started preaching all the way down from verse 19 all the way through the end of the chapter, and then picked it up again in chapter 6, and on and on and on He went, and He never stopped. He never misfired. He says in verse number 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life. He says, you think I'm making Myself equal with God? Well, let me tell you, if you don't believe on Me, and if you don't believe the word, then ye shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He said, you think this is a bad thing right here? I just took this guy and raised him from off of his bed and told him to go down the street and walk. He said, there's going to come a day when the Son of God is going to raise the dead, and they're going to hear His voice. What do you think about that? He just kept on preaching. He didn't stop. He didn't change His message. He didn't swerve. He didn't become all nicety nice. He kept on preaching what God had told him to preach. Look at verse number 28. He says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus Christ kept preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And you say, what do I do when adversity comes? Keep preaching. Some of you, I really think the problem is, when adversity comes, you clam up and you shelter in. You say, why do you think that? Because that's my natural inclination when trouble comes, is just to quietly go back to my own private reserve. Instead of being bold and just keep preaching the gospel, Jesus Christ, and preaching the book, and don't care, let the chips fall where they may. You say, well, how would I have that boldness? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured these contradictions of sinners, that we don't have to be weary and faint in our minds when trouble comes. Maybe two more things. I know we're a couple minutes over. You say, I want to be a great preacher? Look what Jesus Christ did as a great preacher. In John chapter 5, look at verse number 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus Christ says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Boy, that's a humble statement. That's a humble statement to make as a man. But that's a humbler statement to make as the Son of God. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Men, if you want to be a great preacher, stop pointing to yourself. Jesus Christ didn't even point to himself. He pointed to God the Father. If you want to be a great preacher, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and keep preaching the things that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded you to preach. You know what Jesus Christ, he says, if I bear witness of myself, he says, my witness, he said, is not true. Blanket statement. But look what he does in verse number 39. He points to the Scriptures. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. You want to be a good preacher? Stop pointing to yourself. Stop pointing to other preachers. Point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Point back to the Holy Scriptures. You want to be a good preacher? Look at one more verse. Look down here. Verse number 45. He says, think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For if ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You want to be a great preacher? Look to the Scriptures and point people back to the Scriptures. Not to your opinion, not to your experiences, not to your family's traditions, not to your church's traditions, not the way you were taught. Point them back to the Scriptures. And the only way you can point folks back to the Scriptures, men, is if you know the Scriptures. You know the Scriptures. You want to be a great preacher? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we'll end on this last thought. Jesus Christ preached. He preached until the day he died. He preached and preached and preached and preached. You say, well, I don't like to preach. Yeah, I know, it's against the flesh. The world looks at it as foolishness. But if you want to be a great preacher and you want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and his Bible, you got to preach and preach and preach. You say, oh, I'm pretty old. Yeah, Jesus Christ preached till the day he died. He preached on the cross. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer.